Duncan MacLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast brought to you today by the open source enterprise software company, SUSE. I'm joined now by SUSE country manager, Grant Bennett. Good to see you again, Grant.
You as well, Duncan. Thank you very much for inviting me and thank you for your time.
It's a pleasure. Well, we're going to be chatting today about IoT, the Internet of Things, and the role it can play in business and enterprises. SUSE recently sponsored and hosted a roundtable discussion on this topic with IT leaders here in Johannesburg, and there was some interesting feedback and discussion that took place at that event. I was particularly interested in remarks from Transnet's digital business leader and chief process officer, Mandla Mkwenazi, about how the state-owned logistics company is using IoT on its trains in Africa. Tell us a bit about that.
Absolutely, Duncan. It was absolutely fascinating. Such a diverse segment of the market, which was great. You know, so it gave you a good overall kind of view. And Mandla was quite a character. I mean, it seems that they've done quite a bit in Transnet, you know, with regards to IoT and the rail system. So he went right into, you know, how they're measuring, how they're pulling out information all the way down to each carriage, you know, from a braking system and the information that they bring back to a central point. So I think it was definitely valuable. I mean, in essence, I think we learned a lot about what Transnet does and how they manage their rail. Mandla was also actually quite proud on that they've actually got the longest train in the world.
You're
currently beating the Oz, the Aussies, yeah, which is great.
And this train goes through various countries in Africa, I believe, between runs from South Africa to the DRC. And consists of something like 340 wagons and extends over 7 kilometers. That's rather remarkable. And this train is fully kitted out with IoT gear, which is allows them to do what exactly?
Absolutely, Duncan. What it does, it allows them to drill into every single facet of each carriage, you know, with regards to maintenance, when a carriage needs to go for maintenance. The driver can monitor and understand every single segment of that train at the touch of a button. So obviously that lifts IoT to a whole new level in that, you know, train drivers are not your traditional kind of train drivers anymore. Mm-hmm. They train drivers with a little bit of, you know, that require a little bit of Internet of Things knowledge and technical knowledge.
Yeah. Mm. Now what was happening before, I believe, was if there was a problem, they'd have to stop the train, the driver of the train or one of the team on the train, would then have to walk down the length of this train, which 7 kilometers long, I imagine, could take quite a while.
Absolutely.
Looking for the fault. But now with so many IoT sensors on this train, they can determine whether it's a serious fault or not. And it's also got safety implications because, you know, if you could have stopped somewhere somewhere in the DRC, for example, there's a very real risk that this train could be robbed by bandits.
Absolutely. And that was actually occurring, which Mandla pointed out quite often. So as soon as there were, you know, locomotive breakdowns or they had to go and assess, you know, the carriages or wagons, this put the drivers at risk. And he was saying, you know, part of obviously Transnet's strategy is also to get female drivers as part of their working contingent. And they had to consider this as part of their IoT investigation and strategy moving forward. So that the actual driver has on-the-minute analysis of each carriage. And they don't actually have to stop the train or walk for, as you said, 7 kilometers to find out where this is, you know?
Yeah, that's fascinating. So what other examples came out during the roundtable of how corporate South Africa is using IoT? I believe AfriSam is doing some interesting stuff.
Absolutely. So the CIO of AfriSam that was there was also doing IoT in various areas of her business, but obviously very different to a Transnet, you know, kind of a locomotive device, you know? Obviously, AfriSam produce cement for the construction industry. So it's the measuring and the innovation around those areas on how they get the guys within their teams to innovate. I think that was one of the very interesting points that she delivered. Obviously not as well kind of funded as the prizes of the banks, as she stated, but it was more around, you know, how can we improve our organization? I mean, we kind of sell dirty sand, if you consider that in its most base form. And how do we improve, you know, process within the plants, you know, in some format in order to push that competitive advantage as an organization or productivity or analysis down the line?
Mm. Now, I believe the banks are also doing some stuff in the IoT space, which surprises me a bit because they're really very digital organizations. They're not moving a lot of product around. How are the banks looking at it and why are they looking at it?
So I would think that definitely they want to look at you and I as individuals. They want to be able to make us more bankable and marketable and you know, drive their products as well as their you know, their partnership products towards us. So they want to get an analysis of who, say, for instance, Duncan really is. What is Duncan like? What shops does Duncan, you know, frequent? And almost build a kind of model around Duncan as almost an individual that they can market to and allow their partners to market to as well and drive that behavior. So they become very specific on what they can offer you that's tailored for you as an individual. So also very, very interesting, Duncan. You know, the banks were obviously quite progressive in this area because they've understood that they've got a lot of information around all of us that needs to be consolidated in as a single view and, you know, and utilized through their partners to market various products internally from the bank side of things, as well as extensions of those products to their partner base.
All right. So listening to the discussion around the table that that took place at this event, how do you expect corporate South Africa is going to embrace IoT going forward?
So it was quite interesting. It was quite a vast, you know, opinion around IoT at the table in that some guys were quite progressive. You know, they'd kind of gone into the growth maturity phase, they believed, and a lot were also in the infancy, you know.
Yep.
Also, adoption rate of where should we go? How would we do this? You know, it's not a dependent on industry, it's not a must-have in certain areas. In other areas, such as, you know, the locomotive example with Transnet, absolutely, definitely. But in other areas where some organizations are actually struggling to find, you know, where there would be a benefit. You know, where could they kind of drive IoT and how would that add benefit to the organization? But that's where I think partners and these roundtables that we hold quite regularly now actually start to generate, you know, this innovation, cross-pollination and get people that haven't moved into the IoT space or are considering but don't know how, you know, to give them a bit of direction.
Okay. Out of curiosity, you know, SUSE is an enterprise Linux open source software company. What role can and is SUSE playing in the IoT space?
So I think we're an enabler. So in essence, we're the technology behind that. You always hear all the big tech firms saying, well, the enabler to you know, get the end result. But from an open source perspective, I think that leaves us completely open to develop and innovate across the board. It doesn't limit us through proprietary kind of like documents or kind of formats that, you know, make it kind of rigid. So it allows that innovation to go, you know, beyond and actually into a specific segment where you could develop a really, really robust solution for your segment of industry. So you don't have to take something off the shelf, you know. You could kind of enable something that's kind of in the thought leader perspective,
okay,
which is great.
Yeah. Now SUSE obviously has a key relationship or partnership with the German software giant SAP. And SAP has a piece of software called HANA, which is integral to its strategy going forward. It's an in-memory database management system, and it's selling like hotcakes at the moment into corporate South African corporates around the world. Just maybe take us through why SAP HANA is seen as so crucial in the enterprise market, and what role it might play in IoT.
So I think you answered your own question there, Duncan, in that in-memory computing. I mean, people want data as quick, as fast as possible, and what better way than through SAP HANA?
Yeah.
So when you're evaluating your client base, your devices, your systems within your organization, the quicker you get that information and the quicker you're able to analyze it and get something out of it in order to get a go-to-market or a strategy to move forward where you want to add impact to a specific segment. I mean, what better way? You know, you don't have those old systems of late where, you know, you have to draw them down and analyze it in Excel, pull it out. And as you know, everyone loves Excel. That's on the fly. You know what I'm saying? And masses of data. So I think the adoption rate is great, as you say. I think the curve, people realize the benefit behind that. And we're seeing a definite trend to the positive there.
Okay, so feeding data from IoT devices into your organization in real time and able to use that to make real-time business decisions.
Absolutely, Duncan. Yeah.
Now, in-memory means it's using the RAM in the server to run the database.
So it's actually on the chip.
Rather than on a hard disk or even worse, backed up to tape or something.
Absolutely. Okay. So it's absolutely phenomenal. And I mean, the kind of speeds and work rate that the guys are getting out of these systems is just tremendous.
Yes. Now, how are enterprises using these sort of platforms like HANA to manage their data? And what kind of projects are they involved in that are enabling IoT?
So I think there's a plethora. I mean, as we discussed, from banking institutions all the way to logistics, point of sale through retail. So vastly different. Obviously, people are looking at a competitive advantage, you know, focusing on their business as opposed to IT. Utilizing HANA in order to, you know, drive that, as we said, information, so that it gives them their competitive advantage, whatever strategically they've decided as a business to drive. Mm-hmm. It's quite a broad plethora. But you're seeing it in all spheres. Yeah. I mean, across the board. You can see, as I said, adoption where people have a lot of customer-facing activities. It's anybody who has a mobile phone or those kind of things getting pushed stuff out to you, kind of marketing to you as an individual, etc. And then, right the way down to, I suppose, if you looked at, let's take an example, as a petrochemical manufacturer, analyzing the various PLC and SCADA systems within an organization, how much flow is going through there, analyzing that, seeing before breakdowns actually happen, how they occur before they occur. We've also heard a lot of drone technology in these, sites, that are far out in the bundes, as they'd say, and analyzing security, looking at the plant from a bird's eye view kind of thing, and feeding that information back to the back-end systems,
Yeah. Now, Transnet's Amandla Mkwanazi said something quite interesting at the round table. He said that Transnet doesn't really care where the data resides. They're just looking for the end result as opposed to ownership of it. But I'm guessing not all organizations take that approach. And I'm imagining in the financial services sector, the approach would be very different. Where should this information reside? And I'm talking specifically about all the data that's collected through IoT endpoints. Should it be on-premise or in the cloud? Should you be subscribing to some sort of service to manage this for you?
So what we've seen is, you're 100% correct, Duncan. Each organization has their own strategy. If you look at financial services institutions, they're governed by very strict regulations where that data needs to reside and who they can share that with. So they would have, say, for instance, a hybrid strategy with a public as well as a private cloud kind of a model. Whereas Amandla's statement from Transnet on IoT on a train. That's not information that you don't mind being shared. However, your personal data at a bank, you kind of do mind for being sure. shared, you know. So we've seen quite a mixed kind of hybrid model, and that's across all organizations, depending on the data. And I think if you ask Transnet the same question regarding their, kind of financial data or HR data, they certainly wouldn't want that completely shared across the board.
And so the security question in IoT, it depends what the application is and what industry you're in.
Absolutely. And I think it's, there's always been that question around cloud, where it resides, how that information travels across the line, or if it doesn't, or if it resides on the server or the desktop or laptop, or wherever that may be. I think it's really important that you drive the security, and this was discussed internally as an organization. You set that up very, very rigorously, as well as at whatever cloud kind of strategy you decide to take.
Grant Bennett is country manager at SUSE. Thanks so much for talking to Tech Central.
Duncan, thank you very much. It was a pleasure, as always.